Welcome to the First Baptist Melbourne Sermon Podcast. Our mission is simple, making disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. Each week, we dive into God's Word together, discovering timeless truths that shape our faith and everyday lives. Let's join today's message.
First Peter, it's a great blessing for me to be here. I brought two of my kids with me, and so I'm not necessarily looking forward to graduation Sunday with them, but I know that that is in the future, and it is something to celebrate. Church, you ought to be proud of your graduates. What a great accomplishment. Parents, great job. Now, originally worked on this message with the graduates in mind, but they've all left, so I'm just going to look in this direction. So I hope you don't mind that. I'm just kidding, but you can probably remember back to your high school graduation. Is that right? If you're an adult in the room, maybe you remember back to when you graduated high school and think about all that's happened in your life since that point, right? I mean, you might not have guessed when you were graduating high school that you would be where you are today. Maybe for the good, or maybe if you're being honest this morning, you'd say, look, I thought it would turn out a little better than this. But here's what I want you to know, and this is what we're going to see in the letter of 1 Peter, that wherever you are, God has placed you there for a reason. This is true for high school graduates who are preparing to go enter collegiate life and to be on a particular campus. It's true for those who are graduating and going to start careers. It's true for you in your workplace. It's true for you in your neighborhood and in your family that God has placed you in particular places and at a particular time with purpose in mind. So Peter writes to this group of believers in the ancient world who have been scattered away from their homeland. So they find themselves in strange places, and maybe for many of them, they're asking, well, God, what's your plan in this? How did I end up in this situation? And Peter will write to them and encourage them that God's not caught off guard by where they're at, but that he actually has a plan for their placement. So I want you to see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, we'll read a couple verses out of chapter 1, and then I'll read a couple verses out of chapter 2 as well. He says this, beginning in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion. They've been scattered over the ancient world because of persecution. And then he names the places where they find themselves, in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So the idea was that these individuals would read this letter, it would get circulated around the ancient Near East, and that all of these believers who were scattered would be able to read from Peter, one of the early leaders in the church. And what he writes next comes as a little bit of a surprise. He says this beginning in verse 2. He names all the places where they're at. And then he says this, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. According to the foreknowledge of God. In other words, according to what God knew beforehand. He identifies them as elect exiles according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, what part of that phrase, elect exiles, was Peter talking about? Was he talking about their status as the elect? God knew beforehand that they would be elect. Or was he talking about their status as exiles that God, in fact, knew where they would be? In other words, is it about their salvation or their location? And the answer, biblically, is yes to both. We know that God is working things out in our lives to bring us to the place of greater surrendering to Him. In fact, for some of you, you may have come this morning to congratulate a graduate, to celebrate their accomplishments. And maybe you're not a part of this church on a regular basis. Maybe you don't have a church, but God's been working in your life, and He brought you here this morning just so that you could hear that God wants to show you His love and forgiveness. And we also know that God works in people's locations. So throughout the Bible, we find people who are exiles, people like Joseph and Daniel, Abraham, a lot of the disciples, but God had them there for a particular reason. See, God has a purpose for where you're at in your life. This is true for all of us, whether we're graduates or not. And Peter's going to explain that purpose in chapter 2. I want you to see just a couple verses in chapter 2. So starting in verse 9, Peter tells them that they have a purpose, And here it is, verse 9 of chapter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Can we just pause there for a moment and acknowledge the reality of all of those who have received the love and forgiveness of Jesus, that you are a chosen race? Maybe you feel like you don't get chosen for much. You're not the favorite child. You don't get the promotion at work. Maybe you didn't get into the school that you desired to get into. But Peter says, you are a chosen race. In other words, if you're a part of the church, then the God of the universe, who fashioned all things into existence, chose you. The one who has all power and wisdom, he chose you. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood. That is, that you have access to, again, the God of the universe. Like, you can come with confidence before the creator of all things. He's given us access. We are a royal priesthood. It says you are a holy nation. Maybe you feel like you should be further along in your spiritual walk. Man, I struggle with the same sins and the same patterns of disbelief. And I just feel like I'm never where I'm supposed to be. But the Bible says that you have been declared to be holy. If you've received the love and forgiveness of Jesus, you are a holy nation. The rest of your life is about aligning to what God is already doing in your life. And he will complete the good work that he's already begun in you. You are a people for his own possession. You belong to God. How about that? For what purpose? You have been placed, you have been chosen, that, continuing in verse 9, you may proclaim the excellencies. Somebody say excellencies. Of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I have this habit of, when I preach, of asking people to repeat back certain words I think are important to remember. And I didn't realize how challenging of a word excellencies can be sometimes. So sorry for that. It's not always that word. But his excellencies, we've been called to proclaim them with our lives. These are all of the good things about God. Think about it. Think about his nature, the way that he's been faithful. He's been good. He's been merciful and kind. He's been gracious and loving. All of these things about God's nature. And it's also about his work. Think of all the things that God has done in your life. The way that he's been involved in your family. The way that he's saved you. I imagine in a room this size, we could spend weeks just listing the good things about God. All of his excellencies. I mean, we could just share all kinds of things. How he saved us. How he's given us a new hope. How he gives us joy and peace. How he works things out in our lives. He's performing miracles every day. His mercies are new every morning. He is a good God. And Peter says, look, I know you're strangers in a strange land. You're exiles. But you have been put there on purpose to make much of God. Listen, if you miss this, whether you've just graduated high school and you're getting ready to go to college, or whether you're in your career and you're thinking about your job and why you have this job that you have, or why you think you live where you live, if you miss that, you miss the reason why God has put you there. Imagine having a job at Publix where shopping is a pleasure. And your manager comes to you and says, look, there's a lot of people in the store right now. They're ready to check out. We just need you to get up to a cash register, help them check out. And you say, okay, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I'll get up there. But as you're making your way up there, you realize that a lot of the product is out of place. I mean, there's things out of sorts, things are turned around. And so you begin to sort out all the items on the shelf. And then as you're doing that, you hear that in the aisle next to the one where you're at, somebody just spilled something. And you think, well, I should probably go help. That's dangerous. You know, I need to go get a mop. And you start cleaning it up. And then you hear the sound of a truck backing up behind the store. And you realize that a new shipment of product has come. That's heavy. They probably need help back there. So you go do that. All of these things are good things. And listen, there's all kinds of things that we do that are good in our lives. But if your manager catches you in any of those things, good things, you know what your manager is going to say? What are you doing? I told you to go to the front of the store. There's people that are waiting on you. You see, in your workplaces and in your neighborhood and in your school, God has put you around people. And he said, these are people that I want you to proclaim my excellencies to. We do that in the way that we speak. right? We can talk about the ways that God is working in our lives. Sometimes it's just as simple as sharing what God's teaching us in His Word. I remember one time we had a middle school boy whose parents did not go to church, and he wanted to have faith conversations with his parents. He wanted to encourage them with what God was teaching them, and so we talked to him about maybe the best way to do that, and what he settled on was that every day he would just read the Bible, and he would go and tell his parents what he was learning from the Bible. So he went to his dad, and he said, "Dad, do you mind if every day I just tell you what I'm reading in the Bible?" And his dad, being a dad that loves his son, said, "Of course, son." And he began to share with his dad the excellencies that he was learning from the Bible. But it's not just in our words, it's also the way that we live our lives. Not only do we proclaim his excellencies in the way that we speak, but also in the way that we live. So in the next couple of verses, Peter talks about the behavior of an exile and a stranger in a strange land. Not only do we proclaim his excellencies, but he says in verses 11 and 12, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles," there's that phrase again, "to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." In other words, there's things that you need to stop doing. Like if you say you're a citizen of heaven, and you're an ambassador of the King, you're proclaiming that with your words, there ought to be things that you're not doing with your life. There's things that are waging war against your soul, so stop those things. But then he says there's things that you do. He says in verse 12, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." He says, you proclaim his excellencies, and then by your life, you're going to lead others to proclaim his excellencies. Isn't that interesting? And didn't Jesus say something similar? He said, "In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Have you ever thought about the radical nature of that statement? I mean, how different would your life have to be for somebody to look at you and see the way that you're living and go, "Wow, praise God. God is a good God." For somebody to look at what you don't do and what you do and think, "Wow, he is a gracious, kind, and forgiving God." See, Peter says we are to proclaim him. That's why he's put us in the places where we find ourselves. Church, if I could just encourage you, wherever you find yourself at, we sang about it this morning, your Father has good plans for you. The Bible reminds us that he is working all things out for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He's put us in particular places for a greater purpose, that we would make much of him with our words and with our lives. Would you join me as I pray for us? Father, thank you for your grace and this great word that you've given us through the Apostle Peter and your Holy Spirit. Lord, encourage us today to think about the places that you've put us as we think about graduates who are going off to different places of study and different places of work. Would you remind us that, Lord, through our lives, you have been faithful every step of the way. You've put us in places that we would make much of you. Lord, may this church be a beacon of light, one that proclaims you here on Sunday mornings and throughout the week, all throughout this community. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's message. If this sermon encouraged or challenged you, be sure to subscribe and share it with a friend. To find more sermons, resources, or ways to get connected, visit fbcmel.info. And as always, have a great week on mission with King Jesus.